right there. His name is Louis. And well, when they actually asked me to do something about voodoo, and I was very excited because I always been very angry when I've seen and you know things that are not true been saying about voodoo, and then you know as a Haitian being in Haiti, and I know what voodoo is for Haitian. That's always make me very angry. So my intention this morning, I don't want to convert you, but I would like, you know, when you walk out after this session, that you will have more understanding of voodoo, what voodoo is for Haitian, and also all the misconception I assume that you had before will actually go away. And then what I ask you to do now, not this morning, please forget about everything that you already heard or known about voodoo. And then if you can leave them behind a door. So it's time today we're gonna start a new thing. It's like you have never heard of voodoo before. So as a Haitian, I am not a scholar in it, but I'm a Haitian. And given that, I will give you my, I will share with you my story and also my experiences as being in Haitian with voodoo. So after, you will get to know me better, and I hope you will get to know other Haitian also through what I'm gonna say this morning. So before I start, I would like to, even though I said, forget about everything you already know about voodoo, but are we going to do something this morning? If you can tell me, what have you heard already? What did you know about voodoo? Please, be candid with me. Tell me everything that you heard. Don't worry, you're not going to offend me.
Christian spirits are similar to the Catholic
saints,
yeah.
What else?
Zombies.
Voodoo dolls.
Hot and cold.
What else?
Ancestor worship or ancestor something?
Mm-hmm.
Something with chickens.
Something with chicken. Is it dancing or eating or what is it? Chicken dance?
Sacrifices. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's pretty bloody, I think.
Okay. Bloody. What else? Yes.
It's a very popular theme in movies without much explanation.
Okay. That's a good one too.
Mystical.
Mystical?
Mm-hmm. It's connection with the earth and with I don't know, spirit and nature and kind of a holistic. Curses, witches.
Scary costumes.
Scary costumes. Mm-hmm.
Zombies.
Yes. Yeah, I remember every time that I people ask me where I'm from, because they never. Sometimes when they guess, they never say Haiti, they say Jamaica because of my accent. When I said, yes, I'm from Haiti, and then they would say, yeah, you're going to tell me about zombie. I'm like, no, it's not all about zombie. So this morning you are we have two seats here. And I put together some myth and reality for you, so we're gonna go through them this morning. Myth versus reality in the Haitian voodoo. Okay, this is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about stealing pins and dolls to hurt your enemies. I think one of you actually mentioned that. This is a myth. not so much. The idea of voodoo doll was popularized in early 20th century Hollywood fiction. I think this is the Hollywood version of voodoo. And as we go further in this, you will see that we are shying away from the spelling of voodoo and that the Hollywood actually put together. And then the spelling is V-O-O-D-O-O. That's, you know, every one of you would say voodoo. Now, scholar actually want to, you guys know, you know, everybody who is not Haitian, to know that there is a big difference between the spelling of the Hollywood and the real one. So now they have a new spelling which is close to the French. It's V-O-D-O-U, and also we can adopt the Benin one in the language of Fon, which is V-O-D-O-U-N, and the voodoo. So it is, as I said, it is not pinning the dolls, but you will find few ill omen pincushions lying around the house of a real voodoo priestess. Another myth. It is separate religion, incompatible with strict Christian theology. I think you might think of this too before. The reality is, many practitioners or believers of voodoo are also ardent Roman Catholics. Especially in Haiti, where religion is omnipresent, Catholics tend to play a key role in voodoo mythology. And we all see that this is where we talk about syncretism. And you mentioned that, Don, right, Dan?
Danny Boy.
Danny, yeah. You mentioned that, yeah, there's, you know, some of their
saints
in the Haitian voodoo also. Another myth. Voodoo is big on zombies. The reality is, all the practices surrounding death, the afterlife, and ancestors are a big deal in voodoo theology. It is no more zombie-centric than the traditional roots of Christianity, All Hallows Eve. Another myth. It is polytheistic. Have you thought about it before? Many gods in the voodoo? Well, not really. According to voodoo tradition, there is only one supreme deity. But practitioners communicate with God through multiple spirits that act as intermediaries. Okay, there's a joke in Haiti says, it's a very common joke that, you know, if you're familiar with Haiti, you will think 90% of the country's inhabitants are practicing Catholics. Ten percent practice a Protestant faith, and 100% practice voodoo. That's a joke about Haitian, and let's say it is true. 100% Haitian are voodoo, and I will tell you why. Before I go further in the voodoo, I need to give you some history of Haiti. Why we have voodoo in Haiti, and then where voodoo actually come from. When Christopher Columbus arrived in Haiti on December 5th, 1944, by way of San Salvador, he was so in love with the island. I think maybe the island might remind him of the landscape maybe of Spain. So he called Haiti Hispaniola. Hispaniola meant little Spain. It was so beautiful. And when he get there, we had Indian, what a Taino Indian. They were a group from Arawak. And he was so fond of it. And because of the riches of the island, we had a lot of gold. He made the Indians worked in the mine to extract gold. But the Indian actually were not used to work in the mine. And the Spanish actually brought with them the yellow fever. So most of the Indian die of yellow fever and of hard work. And Louis tomorrow will cover most of the things, so I'm not gonna go into details with you, but I want you to be there tomorrow so you can learn more about it. And with his arrival is the extermination of the Indians. And actually some scholar argue that that was a Holocaust of the Indian, because some writers actually research about it, and we don't have any trace of Indian Taino Indian in Haiti at all. When all the Indian actually were exterminated, they were all in need of workers, people to work in the mine. And then at the same time start the slave trade in around the world. And they brought people from West Africa in Haiti. And it was about around 1512, 20 years after Columbus' first trip in Haiti. And those African came from a variety of ethnic groups throughout West Africa. And they speak different languages. They come with different cultures. And also, they brought with them their cultural and religious tradition, which we still carry on with in Haiti. So we would say now our ancestors are not Taino Indian in Haiti, our ancestors are African, so we are African descent in Haiti. At the time of, at the time in the colony, religion was very, it was a very, very, very big thing. From 1492, when Christopher Columbus actually landed in Haiti, he brought with him a big cross. And then he planted this cross in a place called Mall Saint-Nicolas. And then if you go to Haiti, you go to that place, you will see the cross still there. This is where he landed. And then he brought with him the Catholic religion. And, you know, wherever Spanish are, at this time, missionary actually follow them. And we had a lot of missionaries in Haiti coming from Spain and from France or other countries.
Can
so,
you show us on the map where that is?
Yes. Yesterday I had to take a big stick. Here.
For liberté. Colon arrived, it wasn't here. I mean, this part of, they come here, and his boat wrecked here, exactly on the point here.
Just across from Cuba. As I said, throughout the Spanish rule, Catholic religion was one of the most important aspects of life in the, on the island. And priests and missionaries followed the Spanish explorers, so we had a lot in Haiti. And by 1511, Pope Julian II formed three bishoprics on the island. So, you know, that to tell you that religion was very, very powerful, you know, they were very, very powerful in the island. And also, numerous congregations were invited to send missionaries also to the island at this time. But what happened between 1492 and Go ahead. That's when you were. Were you listening to me?
Okay.
Yes. It was there. The Spanish actually came with the idea to evangelize. We call it the primitive on the island, and so when the slaves actually came, they were forbidden to practice their religion, and I think they were afraid that they will conspire against them, and they want them to be Christian. They would send them to take them to church every Sunday. They would want them to take communion. They would want them to use the holy water. So, but you know, when you put all these people together, well, they bring their culture with them, their language. You know, I think it's the same thing for every human being. Wherever you go, you bring with you your culture. You bring your language. And then you always want to mingle with your own people. Because I remember when I lived in Senegal, and you know, all the American people would gather together all the time because they have a common, they have a thing to, together, a commonality. They speak the same language, they have the same culture, and then it was the same thing for the African also. But the masters were not happy with that. They didn't want them to be together. This is the time that they called. They brought with them, they wrote what they call the Black Code. The Black Code, it's French called Code Noir, is a paper saying that Africans are not allowed to gather together. Even though you have a baptism in your family, you're not allowed to. A funeral, you're not allowed to. And because they said that they practice a thing that they don't know what is it, because they couldn't figure out what they were doing, because they want them to be Christian. You want to add something? Go ahead.
One of the important things that you have to understand...
We are a team, so, yeah.
One of the things that you have to understand in the Code Noir, really, I mean, you cannot talk about the Haitian history without really touching the Code Noir. The Code Noir is one of the most repressive piece of legislation that you had in the human history, in the entire human history, that made of the African what we call furnitures. So, they are... But they call in France bien meubles, they are furniture, they are common goods for the community. And we can use them the way we see fit on the plantation, on the colony, wherever we want to use them, we use them there. So that the reason why they were not able to do anything, and they have to find other ways for them to survive and to continue to live on the plantations.
Thank you. And yes, and I think we'll talk more about it
tomorrow.
I'll
talk about it tomorrow.
Yes. This is a taste of what is coming tomorrow, so get ready. So the Spanish, by the time the Spanish were there, they overlapped with the French. The French came to the island also. And they realized that there is, you know, advantage on the island, the benefit, you know, with those black people with big muscles, you know, working on the field, you know, all these things. So now they were, Spanish and French were in argument for the island. But I have to tell you, when I talk about the island, I forgot to mention that I don't talk about Haiti. I'm talking about the whole island of Hispaniola, Dominican Republic, and Haiti. How many of you have been to Dominican Republic, Punta Cana, on a cruise? So I think most people know Dominican Republic, but not Haiti. But I just want to mention to you that the island was one. So when I talk about the Hispaniola, I talk about the Dominican Republic and Haiti before the island separated. So when the French and the Spanish were arguing for the island, and then they had a kind of war in Europe where they decided, you know, we're going to separate the island. But they make us think that they did it for our own good, but it wasn't true. So what they did, they came up with a treaty that they call Ryswick in Europe. So in 1697, the Spanish couldn't actually take care of the island and the African. So their reign actually came to an end with the signing of the treaty. So the treaty is the Spanish ceded the western part of the island to the French, and then the Spanish established themselves here in the other part of the island, which is the Dominican Republic. So that's why in one island, the island of Hispaniola, we speak French, and then this side, they speak English. They speak Spanish. So this side is time to divide the island, and then they call here Haiti, and then here is called Dominican Republic. They speak Spanish, we speak French. And then this is the line between the two islands.
How did they determine the name that would be split, like they just said, well, square miles, or is there some sort of natural...
You know what, hold on to that question for tomorrow. I had all the history to
Okay.
I want you to understand.
They made a deal, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's a deal. So, it's a deal in the Treaty of this week.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I just want you to know, to understand how the island was before Christopher Columbus came and after Christopher Columbus ended to come with the woman. So now we don't have Taino in Haiti anymore. We have African coming from West Africa. Not only one part of Africa, it's several part of Africa. But it was said that our Vodo is more influenced by Benin. And then that's why in the Vodo we have most of the words that we use come from the language, the form in Benin. I know only one word in Benin said, how are you? It says, Ofonuelea. That says, how are you? So what is Vodo? What is that? First of all, Vodou is a religion. Yeah, Vodou is practiced by nearly 6 million inhabitants whose lives are shaped by the beliefs and practices of the complex. Yes, it is a complex religion with a rich historical tradition. Vodou is an expression of people longing for meaning and purpose in their lives. Vodou or beliefs? In the Vodou, they believe in one God. Vodou also believes that this God is too remote and too far away from human life. Instead of seeking help from God directly, spirits act as intermediary, and then spirit we call spirit or loa. Spirit known as loa have various characteristics that we will talk about maybe later when we have time. What are the words of Vodou? For Vodou come from not a single but several African tradition and cultures all over West Africa. And as I mentioned earlier, because all the African came from different places of West Africa, this is where we have all those religion together. That's why they say that Haiti is more Africa than Africa.
Can you have imagined the whole continent of Africa and then the little bit of Haiti is more Africa than Africa? It's when they are referring to the voodoo. They always say that.
Yeah, because the transition has been preserved, you know, from the Mano River, for those of you who know Africa, that being Sierra Leone, Liberia, going down to Benin,
Nigeria,
and so on, and all to the Igbo tribe down there to the coast of Nigeria. So all these traditions have been really preserved in Haiti. And when African now, with the recovery, they are visiting La Coussouvenance in Gonaïves, they are amazed because all this culture, you know, are almost lost in Africa, but they've been preserved in Haiti.
And I can give you a joke about what Louis just said about the West Africa, Nigeria. Louis went to Nigeria when we lived in Africa. It was one of the countries that he was responsible for. And when he got there, somebody told him that you were part of us. He was like, I don't know. And then they took him to a place, and then they gave him a very beautiful African outfit. And then he would receive like a prince, because he looked just like the tribe in Nigeria that called Igbo. So my husband is a Igbo actually. And myself, when I was in Germany with West African people, and then one of them, I think two of them were from Benin, and then they told me that I looked like a Benin woman, and then they even told me I looked like a Mina woman. So I'm a Mina, and then Louis is a Igbo. Okay, now let's talk about the central key aspect of voodoo. And I hope I'm gonna try to finish, you know. So if you have a question, so you can ask. The central aspect, key aspect of voodoo is healing. So what is this for us? The healing in the voodoo tradition actually constitutes 60% of all voodoo activity. And healers heal with herbs, faith healing with the help of laws, and Western medicine. That's why in Haiti, every plant, it is so unfortunate that we cutting plant down to burn for charcoal. But every plant in Haiti is sacred to us, because we know that plant is not only a plant. It is we can use it to heal people. And I remember when I was young, when my mom, when I have a fever, there's a certain plant that my mom would go get and then boil it for me. And then she would do like calling the plant by name. You call the plant by name, and then you talk to you. It's like you tell, I'm sorry that I am going to do that to you, but I need it for my family, to heal my family. So she would call the plant by name and then take the plant and then take the leaves and boil the leaf for me. You wanna go ahead?
The 60 part of the healing part of the voodoo, you have to put it also in the context of the Côte Noire that I just mentioned. Because if you are furniture, if you are sick, you just die. Nobody would care for you. So that means they would need to find a way for them to have a solidarity and find a way for them to cure, you know, whatever they have. So that's one part that you have to put in context. But after the independence, and you will see that tomorrow, in the isolation of Haiti, so you don't have, and all of these people and the foreigners that returned to France, you know, with the advent of the independence war. So that means medical doctors on the island were really, really, really far to be found, you know, or nowhere to be found. So in that context, and that context continues today, and Philip also would know that, even with the effort of all the development issues and all the NGOs that you have in the country, access to medical care in the country remain the same, you know, and remain challenging, you know, even if you had a lot of effort. So that continues till today, that people in the community is taking care of themselves and healing themselves.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the central feature of Vodou. As the service. And then since Vodou is a religion, we don't call it mass, we call it service. And the service is, as the religion rites of the religious rites of the religion, which is Vodou, and then the service usually held outside with drums, and the drums are used extensively to provide music, like we did yesterday, and it is fully participatory. And in the service, I can give you more information about it. In the service, is the time that, you know, we sing. It could be to honor one of the spirit, Olua. And in this service, and somebody can be mounted by a spirit. And but in a service, we always start with a song by calling Saint Peter. Saint Peter referred to Olua spirit in the Vodou called Legba. And why Saint Peter? Because Saint Peter is the one who has the key. So before we start, after praying, because there's a right, you know, we have to call upon, we call God, the spirit. And we sing, and we ask for guidance, and we sing the song calling upon Legba. Legba, since you have the key, you are the gatekeeper, please open the gate for us. So the song goes like that. Legba namba yeah. Legba namba yeah. Legba namba yeah. C'est où pour porter drapeau? C'est où capable soleil pour noyau? So they call upon Legba, and after that the service actually started. Now we're gonna go to, this is very interesting. I always like talking about it, that Vodou and Catholicism. Now we entering in a real thing where people are always very intriguing about why do we have most of the Christian element or tradition in the Vodou. But originally it wasn't there. It wasn't like that when the African came in here. Why? The slaves were forced to practice the religion of the masters, which is Catholic. So some rituals and symbols become central to the practice of Vodou. And I can give you some example of that. Because they were forced to go to church. They were forced to be evangelized. When they came here, they didn't know about anything about Christian. You know, each tribe or each ethnic group has their own religion, their own gods. They didn't know about Catholicism, thank you, Louis. And also, you can see altars in the homes of worshippers that look very familiar to Catholic. And I can add also very familiar to Hindu altars. Because I have a friend, she's Hindu. I went to her house and I see that, I'm like, it looks just like Vodou altars. And then I ask her about what, and she, you can see she has food for her god. And then in the Haitian Vodou, when we have an altar, the one, the loa that is, we call our met, tet, what we call the headmaster, my loa. And then if I know what kind of food that loa I like, I have a food for that loa. And the image of that loa, and my altar, like similar to Indian and the Catholic also. So now let's talk about syncretism in Vodou. What are those symbols that I just mentioned?
first of all, the evangelization of the slaves resulted in the syncretism between Catholics and African religious practice. This guy, his name is Mo de Semeru, actually said that. I remember when I was in school, they make us do a lot of essay about that guy. I didn't like him, actually, because it was too much for me to do. So now I like him. And those, and also in the Vodou, there's an element, the Catholic elements were introduced in the practice. One of them is the wafer. Maybe you might think, what is that thing doing in the Vodou? Yeah, it was there. Because they were forced to go to the mass, and they didn't know what wafer was about. Because at that time, they didn't speak the language. They didn't understand what we're saying in the mass. So what they do, they would only eat the wafer when they are sick. And then it was kind of superstition for them. You know, if I'm sick, I eat it, I won't get healed. And then it still remained in the Haitian Vodou tradition, religion. And also the holy water. This is some example that I want to give you. What they would do with the holy water, they would carry it after the mass in the little calabashes and drink some drops when they rise in the morning and pretend that it will guarantee their welfare against all the witchcraft that might befall them. That was so interesting. And in every Vodouism, the Vodouism is the word for practitioners of Vodou. You will find in a corner the holy water. And then they use it for everything. You know, you seek, you can have some, and then they can actually bathe you with it for good luck and also against witchcraft. And also the sense that Daniel, you mentioned. And what happened? When the masters actually imposed the Catholic religion to the slaves, and they want them to worship, you know, the Catholic saints. So you would go to any compound of slaves, and then you will see a lot of saints on the wall, hanging on the wall. So to fool the masters, when they have the service or ceremony, and with the drums and everything, they will pretend that they are worshiping the saints. And with, you know, drumming, singing. So when the master would come to the compound, you know, hearing, you know, that the drumming, and then they would come just to check in what they are doing. And then the master will see the saint. Oh, they think that, oh yeah, they are worshiping, for example, Saint Peter or Saint Patrick. But in reality, they were worshiping the God. This is how the saints in the religion Catholic come in the Vodou that we call syncretism. And then also the wafer and the holy water was part of the syncretism also. And we use a lot of Catholic prayer also in the Vodou before the ceremony. They also say, Our Father, also before the ceremony start. And the first thing that they do, they always, before they do any kind of healing, they call upon God, who is all there. They always do that, and then they start with God first, and the Lua after. And they start the ceremony, because they know that God exists. God is there. As I said, saints are huge in the Vodou religion. Okay. I'm gonna give you about 20 minutes if you have questions, so I can hope you wanna ask something. Oh, leave that for me. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
what I want you to understand, as a religion, Voodoo is not an organized religion. It does not have the kind of institutional structure that Americans are used to. You know, I think we are here, we are Lutheran, Methodist, Episcopal. We don't have that structure. We don't. Voodoo doesn't have bishops. No church councils. No book. There's no book on voodoo. If liturgy, like the liturgy book, exactly. There is no such book on voodoo. The only way that you will know about voodoo, maybe you can find someone like me, can you know, tell you a little bit of it, because I don't know everything. And you can go to Haiti. You can visit the places where they practice voodoo. You can ask questions. You know, things that you've heard, things that you read. You can ask if you need any light on it. But voodoo is a religion. Voodoo is a way of life. Voodoo is expression of Haitian. And voodoo is, it's me. So I am a voodoo. I'm a Haitian in terms of culture. In terms of, I'm a Haitian. I'm 100% voodoo. Because voodoo is me, and I have a voodoo. So, thank you. So, Louis will put the music about Legba, so to ask Legba to open the gate for us. And it's a beautiful song. And after that, I open the floor if you are Christian, and I will answer.
One point we have to make a precision on, and tomorrow I'll come back again with that, is that doesn't mean that black magic doesn't exist in Haiti. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow as well. Black magic does exist. And the expression that you see in the Hollywood movies that come from Haiti, from Jamaica, from Martinique and Guadeloupe, you know, do exist. And that also exists, that the reason why Mitch was saying 60% of the voodoo is healing, is treatment, it's the guine, it's sharing the good spirit, it's protection, it's calling upon the Lord and God to protect the nation and the people, and so on. But there's also the black magic part. If somebody does something to me, the way that I need to protect myself, you know, I have to shield myself, but also put back a spell. That does exist as well. But Haitian, like Mitch, would never really accept this is voodoo, you know? And many scholars also, because the voodoo tradition, as Mitch said, has been passing from generation to other generation to the oral tradition. It's only recent, you know? During the 1980s with Max Beauvoir, who went to Paris, do a doctorate, was a voodoo priest, and come back to Haiti and start writing about voodoo. So the entire literature of Iwan voodoo is really, really, really new. And it's coming out right now. So that's one thing that we need to precise. And we'll talk about that tomorrow.
So while you're listening to the music, so I would want you to think about questions that you would want to ask us. And we will be open to... Yeah, this is another song for Legba. And I want you to pay attention to the, you know, percussion that we use. Can you repeat that? Alegba number, yeah. Alegba number, yeah. Thank you. So I'm ready for your questions if you have. Yes, stop it. Yes.
How does Vuru relate to Dominican Republic?
Yeah, they still have a part of Santo Domingo, a part of Dominican Republic, what we call the northern part that has been influenced by Haiti. You still have some Vuru going on there. There's this pilgrimage for Saint Magdalena that happens every year around Santiago, you know, which is a mix. And that's the reason why we say in Haiti that sinking didn't come with Microsoft. You know, it came, you know, with the syncretism and synchronization and those kind of stuff. Also came within the Haitian culture and the Vodou culture and so on. So you have in DR, in Dominican Republic, a couple of places where you still have temple and Vodou temple and so on. But it's not that expanded as you have it in Haiti.
Just a pop. So is it mainly connected to the French as opposed to the Spanish? Is there a linguistic difference?
Yeah. The complication comes with what Miss was saying. You have the Great War in Europe between Britain, the Dutch, and the Viking that was really fighting for the Canal du Vin and the passage, you know, of the galleon, because that's where the Spain invaded Mexico City and this area and was trying to get all the gold out. And the only place that they can cross, pass with the galleon, was, you know, around Haiti in Canal du Vin. And this was controlled, you know, by the French and the Viking at the time. So the Spanish had to make a deal. And they made the deal in splitting the island, you know, and say, okay, you want a piece of this, you know, I'll give you a piece of it. So they made the deal and they split the island into two parts. But the Vodou thing didn't come with the Spanish because it came with the African, coming from preserving their culture and trying to practice their culture, you know, and it has been developed on this western part of the island, because that's where the African slave arrived. So that's the reason why it has developed in this part of the island, not in the other side.
And then I can add also the slave on the western part of the island. At this time, the island were very rich, and Haiti was very, very rich at this time. And because of the sugarcane, cocoa, indigo that we had. And then they were all because of the hard work of the slaves. And this is where we had more concentration of slaves working. This is where they had to be together. This is where the practice Vodou, because they use it as survival against the masters. It's to cope with the all the atrocities that they were facing with the masters. And if you guys need to know more about it, there's a Black Jacobins that guy really talk about it. They talk about things that other writers didn't write, because some of them give one side of the story where Haitian were very, very bad people to the French, but they never talk about what the French actually did to the slaves at this time in history. So it's a very, very raw book about atrocities in the island toward the slaves.
Mitch, there are about 10 copies in the bookstore of the Black Jacobins, and people are interested in purchasing it and reading it.
Oh, great. So there you know. I have many hands. Yes?
This is probably for both of you, because I know Louis has which I experienced in the UN and LWF, and I have just heard this statement, and I don't even know if it's anything close to true, that in the continent of Africa and in other parts of the world where there was colonization, which obviously it's here too in Haiti, that the infrastructure was better in the places, even after they left, the infrastructure continues to be better in places where the English were than the French, and that there was even more suffering of the people than the French. Is that at all, first of all, is that at all true? Because I just heard it. And secondly, is anything like that true in Haiti? And I've never heard it in respect to Spain, so I don't even know if it is true where Spain would fit in all.
You know why we always make joke about it? It is true. You can think about where all the French people were. And I think you know more about it. and then you can add anything to it. We always joke about it. I remember when we moved to Senegal, you and I, and then we were like, oh my gosh, everywhere French, you know, French actually were. It's bad. It is bad.
The thing is, you cannot sugarcoat it, atrocities, you know, wherever it's happened and whenever it's happened. But if you are doing historical comparison of colonizations around the world, and you would see the British colonization was done through people. They educated, you know, they educated a group of people, you know, and they acted through those people. So that means they have a layer, and these people that was in the intermediaries, they have certain conditions, and that's what you see in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, in certain former British colonies. The Spanish colonization mingled also with the population. And that's what you see in many countries in Latin America and so on. And how they appropriated the Spanish culture. And they acquired, you know, and they assumed that culture as their own because the way it was transmitted. But the French colonization was done through the Côte Noire, which is different. The Côte Noire, made of all the slaves and all the people that were working on the plantations, furnitures. You know?
Possession. Object, yes.
Your object, you know? So there is no mingle, you know, no acknowledgement of anything. And that the reason why you have those what you have in Haiti. When I went to Central African Republic, somebody asked me, you know, and said, Louis, you cannot understand what happened in this country. And I said, oh, my friend, oh, my, oh, my. And I could surprise you, I do know what happened here. You know? So it's exactly the same thing that happened, you know? The infrastructure and how people live, you know, in this kind of colonization. People were there just to work, you know? To work and help extract the good and send them, you know, in France. And that's where that the reason why they were there. So that's the differences, you know, in all this colonization, just in a nutshell.
Yeah, I have a hand and I will take you. Yes.
You are Lutheran and Voodoo. How does that work?
Oh, this is a good question. You know what, I am in seminary and in doing my candidacy interview. One of the pastors actually asked me that. He said, oh, you're gonna be going in seminary. What about Voodoo? I'm like, well, yes, Voodoo is my culture, but I don't practice Voodoo. I know Voodoo because Voodoo is a culture to me. So there's a difference between being a practitioner of Voodoo or being a believer of Voodoo. I believe in Voodoo. I will tell every Haitian actually believes in Voodoo. We believe in it because it is our culture. But practicing Voodoo is different. So I am not a Voodooism. I am not a practitioner of Voodoo. But I am a Haitian. I know about Voodoo because Voodoo is my culture. That was my response to the pastor, but he wasn't really happy with it. But he wasn't happy with it because he wanted me to say more. I don't know what he wanted me to say.
but this is what voodoo is to me. Excuse me, I have another end here first.
My question was almost the same, but maybe I'll word it slightly differently. Do you encounter any conflicts between practicing Christianity and practice, you don't call it practicing, but understanding Buddhism?
The way probably we need to put it is voodoo is a cultural piece,
right.
You know, that is part of the nation, that is part of Haiti, that is part of who we are, you know. We like it or not, voodoo was the survival skill that people use for them to survive and brought up this nation. So that means if we say we did something, you know, we because for us to fit in the Western culture, we have to deny that. We have to deny a piece of ourselves of who we are as Asian. And that's the way we have to understand it in that particular context. But when it's come to faith, when it comes to faith, and what do we believe, you know? We believe in Christianity. For example, I was brought up in a strong Catholic faith. And the reason why I said the Catholic faith in Haiti has a huge legacy, you know? We did great thing. We bring Christ and Christ centered. We bring God grace to people and so on. But also, we have to admit, as people of faith, that 500,000 people die, you know, in the name of Christ. What do we do with that? You know, because when Columbus arrived on the island, 500, you know, quiet, peasant people were living on the island. They welcome the Spaniard, you know. They show us gold. They give them the gift. That the reason why they knew there were gold on the island in the first place, you know. So, and all of them were killed. In the second travel of Columbus, that was financed by the Queen, you know, and that required Columbus to really evangelize people in the name of Christ and in the name of the poor, of the Queen, you know. When he arrived, unfortunately, there were only 2,500. These 2,500 took up the mountain of Barauco with Cacique Henri, and they all died vertically, you know, with rage in their heart, you know. So this, the legacy also that we need to assume as Christians. But there is no doubt, you know, that we recognize God's grace and God's central in our heart, in our faith, and so on, and we live that fully. But also we assume who we are, you know, as part of who we are in this country.
And voodoo is part of who we are. Excuse me, there's a hand here, and then I will and another here. Yes.
Nick, what is the relationship between voodoo as it's practiced in Haiti and voodoo here in the United States, particularly in New Orleans? Is there any relationship at all?
There is. There's a relationship. There is, because but in the case of Haiti, is a very particular one. And then I don't know why people always focus on Haiti about voodoo, because Haiti is not the only place that practicing voodoo. Because in Brazil, it has different name. You know, in Brazil, they practice voodoo. New Orleans, they practice voodoo. But in every place, each place actually has a different way of doing it, depending on which part of Africa went there. And then in a particular case of Haiti, because it was West African, went there. And then because people from Benin were in Haiti at this time, this is where voodoo is very strong. And then that's why most of the Haitians, when they are looking for the roots of the voodoo, they would travel to Benin. I was reading, there's a scholar, a Haitian scholar, his name is Smith, and he said that he went to Benin once, and he was playing music, the Haitian music, and the guy stood there and crying, and then he was wondering why this guy was crying, and then the guy said, "Oh my God, you remember us. We used to play that. We used to play like that." And he was bawling, he was crying because of that. And also, when I was in Germany, and I asked, Louis actually sent me the cassettes of Haitian music. And I put it in the radio, and none of them actually knew that it was from Haiti. And then a guy came and said, who brought this music from Benin? I'm like, no, it's from Haiti. He said, you kidding me, Mitch? So our drumming is like, you know, we play the same way as Benin and we have some similarity also with Senegal. Also, that's why you've met Bill, the drummer. He went to Senegal actually to learn drumming and in Gambia. So it's different depending on where you're from in Africa. You know, what part of Africa went to this place. So, but it's still voodoo practicing over there. Louis, you want to add something? Go ahead.
I would say, for example, voodoo is present in the Lutheran church in Brazil. You know? We won't call it voodoo. We call it cultural expression of the Brazilian people.
Yeah.
You know? You know? Voodoo is present in Christianity in Guadeloupe, in Martinique. You know? But we call it, you know, métissage culturel, you know? It's how we
mixed,
you know, in the country. We call it different names. It's part of the cultural expression of who they are, you know, and what they do, you know? We go to Venezuela, and I've seen the little tiny Lutheran church in Venezuela. And when I go to the Manitoba area to see the German, you know, that arrive in the Manitoba area, and how do they mix with the indigenous people and give them, you know, an interesting blend, you know, and how they worship and so on. Probably we will not call that voodoo, you know. We call it cultural heritage, you know. So this is the kind of how we need to put those kind of things in perspective and for us and how do we understand those.
Excuse me, there was a hand somewhere before. Yes, you. I'm sorry.
Time's up. I just want to make a couple comments if I could. First of all, the idea that it's healing is very interesting because you mentioned yesterday that people stay home for the first few days of an illness, headaches, fever. I mean, that's the way it used to be in our country. And practiced medicine for quite a while. And I think most physicians would welcome people staying home for the first few days. Of a headache, seriously, it would radically cut down our national health care costs. I remember when I was a kid, I fell out of a tree in about 1955 in the morning, and my mother didn't take me to the doctor until the evening because she wasn't sure my arm was broken. That's the way it was. Emergency rooms and urgent care didn't exist in our country until the late 1960s. Mm-hmm. People stayed home. The second thing I wanted to say, that after you were talking yesterday, I tried to get my mind around what do we have in our country that compares to voodoo when we talk about religion and culture. I mean, I think the closest thing we can come to is probably nationalism. I mean, if you poll most Christian people and ask them if their country was the greatest country in the world, most Americans would say yes. And there's times when, so nationalism is certainly part of our culture, it's part of our, there's a mystique to it, but it takes on characteristics of a religion. And if you don't believe that, try to remove the American flag from your churches, or try to have a peace forum when a war is going on. And you realize that that the religious aspects of nationalism run right up against Christianity and all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's not the only one. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And you, right? The question? No? It was you? Okay.
And then I guess
we can take two more if we have an hour.
Then for us, what I'm hearing almost is that the word voodoo and the connotations that have come along with it that are not necessarily accurate have in some way prejudiced us in our relationships with people from Haiti. So for us, in reaching out to people from Haiti, what would you say is the most important thing that you want us to take away to sort of break down that prejudice?
I would say it's part of, I don't know if you were in the session that Wanda actually taught yesterday. It's part of our, it's being a citizenship of the world as being a church. And what I would like you to take away from that is, as I said at the beginning, every preconceived idea that you had before you came here, I hope when you go back, it was going to be different from what we heard that I said. And I want you to understand that what it's been portrayed in the media, it's not only what has happened in Haiti, in the voodoo. Haiti is a, voodoo is our culture. Voodoo is a religion, and in the way that we explain it to you, if you need more information, there's good sources that you can get it from. And then we did that in, for the sake of actually getting to know Haitian better. And then you can actually decide with that information what to do with it. If you want to still be in relationship with us, if you want with Haitian, if you still want to be in our, if you want to still accompany us, and then it's not going in Haiti with your genuine idea. I know everybody has a, you know, a good, very good heart to help you, but before you start doing this, it's getting to know us, getting to know Haitian, and because once you get to know me, our relationship is going smoothly, is very smooth, and then we can have a relationship. So you get to know me, I get to know you, and then we walk together.
So acting out of relationship instead of out of an idea, I know what's best.
Exactly.
So let me
don't
tell
come
you
before you know me, you already know me. Don't come with this idea. Before you talk to me, you already know me.
There are two great lines in the movie Blonde Diamond. About the atrocities in Rwanda and Sierra Leone, where one of the nine people were asking, you know, can we count what we have done to each other, you know? And Capriol responded saying, you know, we can put it in every angle we want, but we are just people. If you see us, you know, that we are just people, you know, I think we have a starting point for us to work together. Yesterday I said, in Haiti, you would see, if you arrive in Haiti today, you would have 100 kids, and probably more now, because they are all on the street, calling after you and calling you blanc, you know?
That's in the white people.
Blanc, white welcome people. Blanc, you know, and everything. And you would believe that, oh, all these people they were waiting for, you know? They were not really, you know? It's the hospitality of the island, you know? This is what we do. This is of who we are. We welcome you. But you have another step for you to make. You know, and the step for your own integration, it has been the same way for me coming here to the U.S. You know, I had great brothers and sisters that received us here, you know, when we arrived here as refugees in this country, you know. But we really had to do what we had to do for us to be integrated, you know. I discovered that I was black in Los Angeles. I mean, yeah, seriously, because color issue has not always never been an issue for me, you know, because I grew up in a middle class family in Port-au-Prince with some privileges, went to school in Switzerland and come back to the country, had a good job and so on. So color has never been an issue, you know, in my entire life, you know, but in LA I discovered that I was an Oreo cookie. So for me, I mean, in this relationship, you know, that there are ways for us really to
to work together, you know, and try to understand. We have misconception, you know, and preconceived ideas and notion and so on. If we can pass those, you know, we can work together.
Yeah. So thank you so much.